Right, we're turning to our Bibles again, please, to Acts chapter 3 tonight. And we move along in this wonderful book of action, the Acts of the power of God at work in the early church. And chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets, since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant, which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God hath raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale, Vancouver area, British Columbia, Canada. Thank you for joining with us today, and I hope that this message on repentance will get to the very heart of the gospel message. And of course it does, because without repentance there is no salvation. Every preacher worth his salt will always preach repentance. The Lord Jesus did on his very first sermon. So did John the Baptist. And as we will learn today, so did Peter in his preaching and his ministry of the good news. The good news is that everyone repents will be received, and they will be saved by the power of the blood of Jesus. And so I hope that as we come to this message, that you will listen carefully, and the Lord will lead you to a personal U-turn in your life, to turn away from sin and to seek God and to know His great grace in your life. Thank you for joining with us on the broadcast today. Stay tuned right through as we move now to our pulpit ministry on Acts chapter 3, Peter's sermon on repentance. Acts chapter 3 is a little bit of Pentecost continued. And we're going to look tonight at Peter's second sermon. And you'll see that in verse 19, the message that he preached to the people that day. Now, what stirred the interest, of course, was the raising of the lame man at the gate of the temple. This man who had been born lame, so he was no pretender, and that's significant. It wasn't just somebody that had a recent problem and was suddenly cured. No, all of his life he was a cripple. And suddenly, in the name of the Lord, Peter and John were able to command a perfect healing for this man. And that got the attention of the people. And the outcome, you will learn in chapter 4, that there were, verse 4, that there were, the number of men was about 5,000 converts. So Peter's first sermon produced 3,000. This second sermon even extended that and exceeded that to 5,000 converts. Now, the theme of his preaching is the same. If you look at verse 19, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Now, the occasion of this sermon on repentance is there was an awakening. There was a recognition of the name of Jesus, because the miracle in healing this lame man was not done in Peter's name or John's name. In fact, they renounced any such thinking that this was not done by their power, but by the might of the power of the Lord Jesus. And it was done at the ninth hour, which was 3 p.m. in the afternoon in the temple area, most likely in the courtyard outside at the gate or the door of the temple. And so it was a very public affair. And Peter went on to give an exposition of faith. It was the man's faith that raised him from the dead. If you look at verse 16, "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know." And then Peter went on. He didn't stop there. He went on. "This is the same Jesus whom you have crucified." And he did exactly what he did in chapter 2. He laid it on that these people were guilty of shedding the blood of the Lord Jesus, and thus they were guilty. And the key thrust in this message from Peter was repent, repentance. And in this text, there's a little bit more meat on the subject, and we get more information of what it means to repent. and how to call sinners to repentance. And of course, this is the gospel that we're called to preach. We are not merely just sent to preach nice, lovely stories, but to warn, to call people to repentance. And this is the message that Canadians need. This is the message our friends, neighbors, and in this community that men and women need to hear, because they have multiplied their sins. And even on this Lord's Day, Sunday evening, the world rushes on. Materialism, entertainment, television, Hollywood wins the hearts of men and women, and the gospel calls people to repent and to turn back to God. Now, we learn here again that this message of repentance is vital to the gospel, and it's true to every one of us. We must have a testimony that there was a time in our lives when we repented. And we will learn in this text that it simply means to do a U-turn, to turn about 180 degrees. Once we're going one direction for the world and the ways of the world, and then we do an absolute turnaround and we're going in an opposite direction toward God and the things of God. And it's this repentance that defines a true Christian. You cannot be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ if you have not repented of the world and all its empty vanity. And so tonight we come to this very important matter, and one that in these evil days, when immorality is proliferant, whenever wickedness is abounding, we need to be calling sinners to repentance. Now, sadly, some evangelicals totally neglect this aspect of repentance, and they talk about God's love and about faith. They talk about giving your life to Jesus, but they don't get to the issue of repentance. Well, it behoves us to be very clear on what it means and what it doesn't mean. And then, of course, we have the Roman Catholic Church that turns it into a monetizing proposition. They make repentance penance, where you pay, and very often it's monetized. Paying into the church, they call that repentance. And that is so far off the mark. Now, tonight we begin here in verse 19 with the reason for repentance. And the reason is that it is a change of mind. Repentance, the Greek word metanoeo, means change your mind. Give up your old thinking and come to accept and acknowledge the truth. Now, what way were these thinking? These people who had the blood of Jesus upon their hands, who had been shouting, "Crucify him," directly or maybe indirectly, were part of, you know, the praise and the whole excitement of Jesus' crucifixion. Now they had to change their minds. Who is this Jesus? What was he there for? And what did he come into the world to do? And Peter was saying to these people, all along you were crying out against him, you were wrong. All along that you encouraged his death, you were on the wrong track. You were on the path to destruction. And you have to give up that thinking. You have to recognize you're totally wrong. Confess your blunder. Confess your error. Turn your mind to right thinking and acknowledge you have greatly sinned. Now, this word repent, verse 19, and by the way, you can do this too. You can go on e-sword.com, that Bible software, and if you get the Greek New Testament section, it will parse a verse of the Bible. That means taking it word by word and giving you whether it's a noun, an adjective, whether it is a command, which is in the imperative mood, or whether it is in the subjunctive, which would be if you do this. And it will parse each and every key word in that text. And they've made it very simple now. There's a box for each word. And then when you click on the little letters underneath, it will tell you if it's an adverb, an adjective, if it's singular, plural, masculine, feminine, and it does a great job and makes it wonderfully simple. I wish I had had this when I was a student of the Bible 40 years ago. It would have been a tremendous help. And you can go on there and check. And you take this word repent, and it is in the aorist tense. Now, we in the English are not familiar with aorist, but the Greeks and some other languages have aorist, and it's something that is done once, just once. It's not an ongoing, you don't put an ing after this, you don't put an eth on it. It is repent once, turn once. This is a 180 degree turn once. Give up the way you're going, turn right around, and turn back to God. And it is in the aorist tense. And it calls us to suddenly, dramatically turn our way. So the gospel is not a journey. You may have people who talk about, you know, in your journey through faith or your journey in your religious experience to heaven. That's not what Peter was preaching here. He was telling these guilty sinners with the blood of Jesus on their hands, you have got to totally lock, stock, and barrel, turn your around, recognize you're totally, absolutely wrong, and turn back unto God. Unto you, first God, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. That's right down at verse 26. Down in verse 26, you'll see this, what it means to repent. Turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And that is a very good explanation of the meaning of the word repent. It means to turn. And there are other usages of this word in the New Testament. In fact, there's many usages, and it's always turned about. For example, in Matthew 9:22, it says, but Jesus turned him about. He went the opposite direction. And that's what this word repent means. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, that if you are born of God, you are a new creature in Christ, all things are passed away and all things become new. It is not some things, it's not partial, it's total, lock, stock, and barrel, turning back to God. And so the hour of your conversion is marked by the time of your repentance. It is the time when you changed. It's the time when you gave up your sin and you turned back to God to seek Him. Now, this repentance goes hand in hand with faith. Faith opens the eye to see Christ, but at the same moment, faith opens the eye to see sin and all its heinous horrors and how it's condemning us. And when we are given the gift of faith, immediately linked to that, twinned with that, is given the gift or spirit of repentance, whereby we hate sin. Now, you've probably heard me and others preach, repentance is to leave the sins we loved before and show that we in earnest grieve by doing so no more. This repentance is more than academic, more than mental, although you're to change your mind, that's part of it, but it causes us to grieve. We call it conviction of sin. Repentance leads us to turning back to God because we are grieved, sorrowful for what we have done. Now, notice also in verse 19, that this is God's command. And I was mentioning that little help in esword.com where you can parse a word. It's also in the imperative mood, meaning it's a command. It's not optional. It's not just mere advice. You're commanded to repent. And as it said elsewhere, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. This is an absolute command of God, and it is our way of responding to the gospel. When we hear of Christ, that He is our Savior, that we are guilty and sinful, then the proper response is to repent. Heed God's command to turn and turn to the Lord. Now, it says, repent ye therefore. There's the argument of it. There is the wisdom of it, the logic. Repent ye therefore and be converted. Now, in our Bible, the AV King James Version Bible, this would appear to be passive. Be converted. That's something that's done to you. But in reality, it's in the active tense. You are to turn yourself. You are to make that U-turn yourself. It is something that you and I must do. It's not something that God does for us. We've got to do it ourselves. Now, we know that without grace and without the Holy Spirit, we will not be brought to do it. We will not, from our own fleshly, carnal desires, want to do it. But yet it is our responsibility. Repent ye, therefore, and turn. Turn from your sin and flee from your sin to the Lord Jesus. Now, this repent and be converted, or repent and turn around to God, it's a part of God's effectual call. It is the operation of God in the hearts of men. And what are we called out of? From our iniquities. We learned that in verse 26. What are we called unto? Holiness. We are called unto holiness. And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And so if we're going to preach the gospel and tell men and women what they must do because of their sin and guilt and how to be saved, we've got to command them, we've got to tell them, God calls you to an immediate repentance. Leave your sins and turn back to God. Now, there's a couple of verses I want to back up with on this. And firstly, it's 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. And that's what repentance is about. It is to change your mind. The world is not good. The world is not on God's side. The world is wicked and anti-God. And if I pursue the world, I will never be saved. But I am called to leave the world and its uncleanness and to pursue after holiness. That's the call to which we are called unto. And then in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. And I'm going to give the time that we need to look up these verses because they solidify the truth we find in Peter's sermon. 1 John 1, 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And so we're to leave the world, we're to leave the way of the wicked, and enjoy renewed fellowship with the Son and with the Father. 1 John 2:20 is another great text. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. So we are now brought by repentance into a new experience, and we have an unction, we have an insight, we have an understanding of what sin has done and our need of the Lord in grace. Philippians 3:14 is another helpful verse. Philippians 3:14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So the gospel is a high calling. It doesn't leave us in our sins. It doesn't save us in our sins. It calls us out of them to this high calling to go on with the Lord. And so every one of us needs to have had this U-turn in our lives. And when we tell people they need to come to Christ to be saved, we must warn them to leave their sins, flee from the world, recognize it as damning them, destroying them, and to turn away from it. And that's the new mind. That's the new attitude that repentance works within the heart of the hearer. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you have been moved today by this call to repentance, and you realize that you need to do a U-turn in your life to turn away from the world and its sins, to believe on the Lord Jesus with all your heart, please allow me to help you. I would be delighted to hear from you by phone or email. I would be delighted to open the Bible and point you the way of salvation. The gospel is very simple, yet I know that many people like that clear guidance one-to-one. And if you can give me a call, I'll be delighted to walk you through the scriptures and to help you as you give your heart and life to the Lord for His salvation. And again, the details are coming up, my phone number, address for the website, and how you may be in touch. But I implore upon you the urgent need to be saved, the urgent need to give your heart to the Lord. We know not what a day will bring forth. This is the hour of opportunity, and I plead with you to turn to the Lord today. Give Him your heart, believe the gospel, repent of the world and its sins, and give yourself to Christ, and He will save you. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.